الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله جميعا. It's great honor and pleasure to speak in this very auspicious gathering which is organized for a great occasion, the birth anniversary of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and also of the sixth Shiite Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, alayhi salam. What adds value to these commemorations is that the duration between 12th and 17th of Rabiul Awwal is announced to be the week of unity among different Muslim schools of thought. Why between 12th to 17th of Rabiul Awwal? Because some scholars in both Shi'i and Sunni school have recorded the birthday of the Prophet on the 12th, and some have recorded it on the 17th of Rabiul Awwal. Majority Sunni accounts go with the 12th. Majority Shia accounts go with the 17th. So making the period between the two is a very good occasion to call the week of unity. Gathering round the pillar of Islam, the Prophet, peace be upon him, who brought us the Quran, which is the foundation of our faith and our belief. What I would like to talk today is about one occasion in the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him, which is very telling about his teachings, about what Islam teaches us. And that is when the Prophet arrived in Medina on the first day. Medina was a war-torn city, you know that. There was battles going around for decades between different tribes, Aus and Khazraj, Jewish tribes, Arab tribes. They were fighting with each other, and bloodshed was widespread for many, many years. So when the Prophet arrived in Medina, which had already converted to Islam without seeing the Prophet, they had heard about the Prophet. The Prophet had sent an emissary there, several emissaries actually, including Mus'ab ibn Umair, who taught them the Quran. So when he did set foot in Medina, the majority of people of Medina had converted to Islam, and the Jews, of course, had to respect the wishes and will of these two tribes who wanted the Prophet to come to Medina and lead them. You have heard, of course, as soon as the Prophet arrived in Medina, he concluded a pact of peace and harmony between all the tribes, Jews, Christians, Muslims. They all live peacefully. They all have to support each other, to all have to help each other against anyone who might want to attack the city. But that's not our concern now. There's a very beautiful account given by one man about the arrival of the Prophet in the city. This man was a Jew, a Jewish scholar. His name was Hussein with Sad, not with Sin. Of course, Hussein with Sin was the name of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam, but Hussein with Sad was a common name in Arabia at that time. Hussein ibn Salam, whom the Prophet later on advised to change his name to Abdullah ibn Salam. You probably have heard his name. It is said that couple of references in the Quran to Ahlul Kitab is referred to this Abdullah ibn Salam. He was a very pious man, a very religious person. He was head of the all synagogues in Medina was from Banu Qurayza tribe. We had three Jewish tribes there. He was from one of them, Banu Qurayza, which was the biggest tribe. He spent his days in synagogue teaching, preaching. He's nice in worship. And of course, he had heard a lot about the prophets. He had heard a lot about the verses of the Quran. The claims of the prophets over the religion of Abraham, that he has come to amend what has gone wrong in Judaism and Christianity. So he was very eager to see this man. He says that as soon as the prophet arrived in Medina, I rushed to go and see. First of all, I rushed to go and see his face, to see whether this face was the face of an imposter, a liar, or an honest man. Then I wanted to listen to him. Of course, I had heard a lot about him. I had read about the Quran, the verses of the Quran, I had heard about it. But I just wanted to hear what he says as soon as he arrives in Medina. You know, when a leader arrives in a city, the first speech is always very important. It makes the impact. And it gives the gist of the message of that messenger, of that leader. So he said, I wanted to go and hear what he says and see his face. The account says, and this is reported in both Shia and Sunni books, he says that I went, people were all surrounding him, hailing him with greetings, and I had my gaze on his face. فَإِذَا وَجْهُهُ لَيْسَ بِوَجْهِكَ الذَّابٍ. I immediately realized his face was not the face of an imposter. He didn't look like a liar to me. And this man was a very pious man, of course. You know, pious people can see in the face of people what others cannot see in their words. So he says, I recognize in his face the elements of honesty and truth. And when I arrived, he was speaking. He was speaking to the people, and I caught these words when I arrived. Probably even at the beginning, he was just so much absorbed to the face of the prophet, trying to find out things from the face that he didn't hear what prophet was saying, peace be upon him. So he said, I started to recognize the sentences from here. He was saying, Afshu Salam. And it's very important. As I said, this is the first message of a leader, the first message of a leader arriving in a city in which he's going to lead. The city which he's going to lead. So he was saying, Afshu Salam. وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامِ وَسِلُوا الْأَرْحَامِ وَسَلُّوا وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامِ وَادْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامِ. أَفْشُ السَّلَام means spread peace. This was what Medina, or at that time Yathrib, needed most, peace. Because, as I said, it was a war-torn city. People had killed each other for many, many years. The grudges were there in the hearts. The blood of brothers, fathers, relatives, cousins were boiling for rage, those who were killed. And one of the major issues that the prophet solved at that point was that he said, any blood spilt in Jahiliyyah is under my feet. That means no retaliation. Forgive and forget what has happened in the past. Let's start and build from now. Now, this Afshu Salam, spread peace. This was the first message. Islam is the religion of peace, of course, we know that. But it's not a pacifist religion. We know that as well. If someone attacks, if someone wants to destroy, then of course Islam advises us to stand, to go to jihad and all these things. But initially, basically, it is a religion of peace. It doesn't want to fight with anyone or to hold grudges against anyone. The da'wah in Islam is a peaceful da'wah. The call to Islam is a peaceful call. Isn't this the Quran which tells us, La ikraha fid-deen, you cannot force faith into anyone's heart? Of course, it's the Quran which is telling us. So it's a religion of peace. Afshu salam. What is this violence we are seeing today amongst the Muslims? These incidents we are seeing that is happening all over the world, not only in Europe. You see the most conspicuous of this violence in Syria, in Iraq, in other parts of Muslim land, and of course recently in Europe, what they call Muslim or Islamic extremism. What is this? If Islam is a religion of peace, why do we see these things? Since these very sad incidents happening in the West and European soil, we see many Muslims come out in a very apologetic way, apologizing for what is happening. No, this is not our faith. Our faith is a faith of peace. We want to love everyone. Why should we see these people doing this? We disown them. However, I would never like to apologize for what is happening now in Europe. I never would like to do that. Why should I apologize for it? Islamic extremism is not something part of my faith or part of what we have made. Islamic extremism, as they call it, is a creation of the West. Is what they have created. It's their child, it's their offspring. And now it has come back to their land and they try to condemn Muslims for it. We are complaining. You have to apologize us for this. Who did create the Saudi regime, the Wahhabi cult in Arabia? Wasn't this the British government? It was. Then this very aggressive, violent cult attacked all different parts of the Muslim land in the vicinity, killing many thousands of people with the help, support, and aid of the British. Wasn't that? I mean, just refer to the history. Go to the National Archive. See how did the British created and supported the Muslim extremism. And should we apologize for it? Or should they apologize for it? Isn't Al-Qaeda a making of America and British and Britain? Just go and see. It's not very far-fetched. It's very close to our time in the history. Al-Qaeda was a making of these countries to fight against the Russian supremacy in Afghanistan. Osama bin Laden had an office in London until 2005, 4 years after the 9/11. Why? Is their making. ISIS is their making. They have given them support, help, their allies, Saudi Arabia, Qatar. They have given them weapons, money, and everything. And they have now, they have gone wild, of course. They have turned against their masters. And now they don't call them ISIS or anything like that. They call them Sunni extremism. So we have to be careful all the time. As I said, they have to apologize, Muslims, for what's happening today. Their offspring, their child, have gone wild against them, killing them in their own soil. Of course, it's very sad. We do not support it. But we condemn extremism, we condemn killing, not only in Paris, we condemn it in Syria, we condemn it in Iraq, we condemn surrounding and seizing a small place called Gaza for 50 days, bombing it, shelling it with several thousand tons of bombs, killing many people, 2,500, most of them children. We condemn that as well. And we condemn what happened in Paris. Yes, of course. But things are very much related to each other. Anyhow, we are diverted from our speech. I'm very angry. I'm very angry because Muslims come out and try to apologize for what's happening. We shouldn't apologize for that. They have to apologize to us. So one of the first things that the Prophet said, Afshu salam, spread peace. Wa at'imu ta'am, and feed people. Against one of the most important things which creates upheaval, which creates violence, is when some people are very rich, are fully satiated, and other people are poor, hungry. This creates violence, of course. So the other part, at'imu ta'am, feed people. Wasilul arham, be kind to your relatives. This kindness is what our society needs most. The first message of the Prophet in Medina is reverberating throughout the history. It is very fresh, it's very new. It's something that all of us need now to spread peace, to fight hunger, to be kind to each other, especially to the relatives. وَأَطْئِمُ الطَّعَامُ وَسَلُوا الْأَرْحَامُ. And of course, the other thing which is much needed in our modern society is our relation with God. وَسَلُّوا وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامُ. Pray when people are sleeping. In your private, most private hours, connect to God. Don't show off your relation with God. That doesn't work. Your relation with God is something in your heart, in your most private and silent hours of night. And then if you do this, وَادْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامُ. Enter paradise with peace. The beginning of our life is peace. And inshallah, the end of our life will be peace. This Abdullah ibn Salam says, I went to the Prophet. I greeted him and asked him a couple of questions and then accepted him as a messenger of God. Just a few, you know, it's very sufficient, enough. You just need to hear the core of the message. And if you have a good heart, you don't need more. So this Abdullah ibn Salam, just hearing these few sentences, looking at the face, knowing what had passed about the Quran, asking a couple of questions, converted to Islam and became Abdullah ibn Salam, the very famous man of Ahlul Kitab, who, as I said, a couple of references is made to him in the Quran. Inshallah, as this man of God absorbed the message of the Prophet in his heart, we will absorb as well that message. To be Muslim, of course, it's enough to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. But this is just to open the door. When you have opened the door, then you need to go inside. You need to go deep in the faith. You need to see what is the essence of the message. Absorb it, apply it, practice it, and inshallah, all of us will be prosperous. And one other thing, Islamic extremism is against both Sunni and Shia. Wahhabism is a cult against Hanafis, Malikis, Hanbalis, Shafi'is, and Shias. So let's be together. Anyone who extends the hand of brotherhood among any Muslim persuasion, let's stretch our hands, press their hands, and be together. Thank you very much. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.